You know, Easter Sunday is, in many ways, we kind of celebrate it big, and we make a lot of ruckus about it because it is on this day where the impossible happened, where a man who was dead for 3 days, God in flesh, the Son of God, was dead for 3 days, but on that third day morning, that early Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hand. Amen, somebody. And so I don't know if you've ever seen anybody come back to life. It's kind of a big deal for you to be in the grave and be in the tomb for a few days, but then to raise back to life as you said you would do it. I don't know about y'all, but I believe that God is so faithful and so good and he's so awesome that he can say something and he actually bring it to pass. Like Jesus said, I'm going to die, but on that third day on Sunday morning, I'm going to come back to life. And I don't know about you guys this morning, but I am glad about the fact that God is faithful to his word, that whatever he says, he's going to accomplish. And we've been in this series called Waymaker for the past few weeks. And if you're here for the first time today, the series is all about helping you understand how God is a waymaker, how he makes ways out of no ways. And the greatest way in which he displayed that power is through the resurrection of Jesus. That when it looked like there was no way, God made a way. And so I'm excited just to continue this series and excited to really share from God's word today, because I believe that this word is really going to be one that I believe helps you and meets you where you are, and one that's going to bring forth some comfort, especially for those of us today. You know, you've kind of been drifting in life, and you've kind of just been all over the place, and just trying to really get your bearing and get a sense of understanding in your life. And maybe you came here today discouraged, and you came here today like, man, you know, it's Easter, so I'm just going to get dressed up. I'm just going to come, but you know, I don't really expect anything to be different. I don't expect my life to really be changed. But I believe that today your life is going to be changed, and it already is being changed. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Now, if you're new here, we believe in giving God our best. So, like, you can talk during the sermon, say amen, shout, stand up. Like, it is not going to make me uncomfortable at all. Matter of fact, can we take, like, 5 seconds and celebrate Jesus for his resurrection? I'm going to give y'all some practice right now. Come on, y'all can make some noise. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Come on, you stand when your team wins a championship. You stand when you get a paycheck in the mail. You stand when something works out for your good. The least you could do is stand for our resurrected King. Come on, practice right now. 5 seconds of praise. Give him worship. And thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's a warm-up for you guys. Gets you guys awake, man. And I want to look at John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. That's where we're going to just share from God's word today. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. And you can follow along with us on the screen, or you can download our app from the App Store. Just type in the Bridge Church app, and you'll find us. Look for our logo, and you can. There's a Bible in the app itself, and so you can follow along there. Or you can also follow along with our sermon notes that we provided in our app likewise. And so, John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18 is this powerful passage of Scripture, this resurrection passage of Scripture, this Easter morning Scripture. And here's what it says, starting at verse 11 of John chapter 20. But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. And as she was crying, she stopped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are seeking?" I love that Jesus says these words here, because one commentator records how early in the book of John, when Jesus first steps on the scene, he asked this question to his onlookers, and he says, "Who are you looking for?" And now post-resurrection, he says the same thing. "Who is it that you are seeking?" Supposing that he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, Mary. And turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus told her, since I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. There's one thing I want you guys to get today, more than anything else. I want you to be able to walk out of this building today and say, I have seen the Lord. Not necessarily physically, but I've seen him spiritually in my life. I have seen the Lord. And she told them what he had said to her. And I want to preach for the next few moments that we have together from this thought. When you've lost your way, when you've lost your way, I want you to ask the person beside you, ask them this question. What do you do? That was the wrong neighbor. They didn't say anything. Find somebody else really quick. Say it loud as you can. What do you do when you've lost your way? You've lost your way. One of the most frightening things, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, and the most frightening feelings that you could ever have is being lost. How many of you guys have ever been traveling to a particular destination and you found yourself being lost? Right? The phone all of a sudden started acting crazy. Google Maps started tripping. Apple, your iPhone map started tripping. There's always glitches in that thing. You lost your way. You lost your way. You couldn't find where you were going. You kind of find yourself feeling the feelings that those people may have felt in that horror movie called Wrong Turn. You made a wrong turn. And you surely felt like the path that you were going on was going to be the end of you. There were no lights down this road. It was dark. There was no other cars. And you found yourself being lost. I remember one time when I went to Alabama for one of our church planning conferences. And I was down there and we were doing some coaching and things like that. And I went to go play basketball in the evening time, around 8 or 9 o'clock after we had finished and everything like that. Some of the guys were getting together. We were playing basketball. And they told me the address, and I remember I put it in my phone, and all of a sudden my signal goes out while I'm on like this back road in Alabama. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know if how this story ends, but I believe that you are with me. And some of you guys are like, well, what happened, Pastor? Did you make it? Well, I'm still here today, so I made it. I made it to my destination. I made it, but I made it back. But there's no other thing that's more frightening than being lost, than not knowing where you are, than not knowing or having a sense of direction. And I find that to be the same thing that's happening here in John chapter 20. Because in the first half of John chapter 20, in verses 1 through 10, you see this scene where Mary in particular, she goes to the tomb in which Jesus, after he was crucified, had been laid and buried. The Bible talks about how she goes to the tomb, she notices that the body of Jesus was gone. And in her mind, she's picturing the fact that Jesus' body has been stolen or taken away. And so she immediately goes to the disciples, to Peter and to John, and she tells them that the body of the Lord is gone. And in particular, in verse 2, she says, and we don't know where they've put him. The Bible even says earlier or later on in these next few verses that the disciples, they make a beeline to the tomb and they're racing. They're getting their Usain Bolts on and they're sprinting. And matter of fact, one verse it says that one of the disciples outran the other to go find out what's going on here. The Bible says that Peter, he looked in and he saw that things were not as they had seemed and he was confused. But the other disciple, more than likely John, as the Bible records, peeped into the tomb, the Bible says, and he saw it and he believed. The Bible later on says that they left the tomb, Peter and John. But then our story picks up in verse 11 where it says, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Now the reason why this is so profound is because Jesus, their Lord, has been crucified and he died and has been buried. And his followers and those close to him, they feel lost. Peter, James, and John and the others, they, for a moment, they feel lost and maybe in some ways even betrayed. Scripture even tells us that the disciples have actually gone into hiding out of fear for their life, that what happened to Jesus is eventually going to happen to them as well. They're probably puzzled to a degree because Jesus said he would raise back to life and he said he would overcome all things, but yet he has died on the cross and now his body is gone. So here in John 20, the main character that we see here, Mary Magdalene, somebody that Jesus actually had a close relationship with. Mary Magdalene, if you do a biblical study on her history, she was somebody that was possessed by at least seven demons. She was demon-possessed at one point in her life. But then she had an encounter with Jesus where the demons that were oppressing and possessing her life, one touch from Jesus set her free. And I don't know if you're here today and you came in here maybe feeling some sense of oppression and came in here dealing with some type of bondage. And you may have come here wondering, can Jesus set me free? I believe if you put the microphone to Mary, she would tell you, yes, he can. Because I was once bound, but now I am free. But even though she's had this amazing moment happen in her life, she finds herself dealing with this lowest of lows, where now Jesus, his body is gone. And the Bible says in verse 11 that she's standing at this empty tomb, crying. And as she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. And when she looks into the tomb, verse 12 says this, she sees two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head where Jesus' head was, and the other where his feet were. Now, the reason why this is so profound, and I love it for us Bible nerds in here, you may understand the significance of this. Because anytime in Jewish culture, the culture in which they lived, oftentimes when a Jewish priest or rabbi, would teach and teach with authority, they would always sit down. It's interesting that the angels are sitting down where the head of Jesus was and where the feet of Jesus was. What is this symbolic of? That the thing that you feel overwhelmed by, God has already overcome. That the thing that you feel most weighted down under, God is already over. Mary doesn't recognize this. That these angels are sitting here chilling, right here, chilling. Say, hey, Mary, what you looking for? What did you come to find? As I'm sitting on this monitor and it's about to give out. What did you come here looking for? In her mind, Jesus is gone. And she's thinking somebody's stolen the body. Notice what her response is at the end of verse 13. They said to her, woman, why are you crying? She replies this, because they've taken away my Lord, she told them. And I don't know where they've put him. Why is this so significant? Because Jesus is the way maker. He's healed blinded eyes. He's unstopped deaf ears. He's healed people who were paralyzed and crippled. He is the ultimate way maker. He's walked on water. He's turned two fish into five loaves into a Thanksgiving feast where there was leftovers left over afterwards. He's done all these great things, but yet it appears that he is missing. Yet it appears that he is not here. And notice what she says. She says, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. She's experiencing a personal loss in this moment. She's lost her way. Jesus, the way maker, is nowhere to be found. Matter of fact, in John 14 and 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here's what I think Mary is almost saying as well. Not only do I not know where they placed my Lord, but if he is the way and he's missing, then I've lost my way. I've not only lost my Lord, but I've lost my way. I don't know where to turn now. I don't know where to look. I don't know where to go. Things have fallen apart. Things have failed. Marriage has failed. Where do I go? Job is no longer secure. I've lost it. Where do I go? Kids are becoming wayward. Where do I go? My finances are acting crazy. Where do I go? I feel like I've lost my way. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you felt like you've lost your way. where it feels as if you can't get a hold of things. Am I alone in here, or is there some good company here where you feel like you've lost your way before? Some of you guys came in here today, and coming to service today, coming to church service today was literally a last-ditch effort. You're like, man, I've lost my way. And I don't know where to go. And some of you are right now are in this season where you've experienced a loss of some sort. You feel like you've lost something, and you feel as if you've lost your way. But here is the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. Here is the good news of today being Sunday. In the midst of her feeling lost and hopeless and confused, here's what happens. Jesus shows up. Jesus appears. He appears. He's been resurrected. He has risen just as he said. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4. The Apostle Paul, somebody who opposed Jesus, says these words: "For I passed on to you as most important what I have also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, but also that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Why does he keep saying according to the scriptures? Because he wants you to understand that whatever God says, he produces. Whatever God says, he does. Whatever God promises, he produces. There is never a single time where God says he will do something, it will never not come through. And then notice what it says next in verse 5. "And that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive," talking about that day and time. "But some have fallen asleep," meaning that some had died in that day and time. What does this mean? Some of us have come in here doubting the resurrection. I want you to understand, do you really think that over 500 people would just make up a story? Over 500 people saw the resurrected king, and one of the first to see him was Mary, the one who lost her way, the one who was distraught. Why is this resurrection so important? The resurrection of Jesus is so important because it gives hope to you if you feel like you have lost your way. If you have come here today not knowing where to go in life, if you have come here today wondering where am I supposed to go, what am I supposed to do, here is the good news of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is proof and evidence that even if I have lost my way, it is not the end of the story. It is not the end of my life. It is not the end. That the resurrection of Jesus has many implications over our life. That even when we've lost our way, it means that we can still experience new life. The resurrection of Jesus is proof and evidence that God has forgiven us of our sins, the thing that separated us from God. But Jesus comes to be the bridge. That's why we named our church the Bridge Church. Because he comes and he bridges the gap, not just through his life, not just through his death, not just through his burial, but most importantly, through his resurrection. And because of this, our lives can be changed. So what does it mean for Jesus to resurrect when I've lost my way? How does this help me? How did it help Mary? Glad you asked. Jesus raising back to life and defeating death, sin, and evil means this, that when I've lost my way, Jesus does something very powerful for you. Today is not about what you do for Jesus. Today is about what Jesus has done for you. And it's not just about what he has done for you. It's also about what he can do for you. You don't just serve a God who's a past tense God, and even a God who's a present tense God, but you serve a God who's past, present, and future. He is not limited by past. He is not limited by present. He is not limited by future. He is over all time. He is over all things, and it does not matter where you find yourself. He can do something about it, which I love why he does this here in verse 14. Notice what it says. "Having said this," after she said, "they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him. I've lost my way. I've lost my Lord." Says this, she turns around, and she saw Jesus standing there. Notice what it says next. But she did not know it was Jesus. She didn't know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are seeking?" I want you to see what's happening here in this passage. Mary has lost her way, doesn't know where to go with her life now, doesn't know where to turn. Everything in life has been rooted and grounded in Jesus, as it should. Everything has been contingent upon who Jesus is, and he's gone, and she doesn't know where to turn, but all of a sudden, Jesus shows up, which tells us that when we've lost our way, Jesus, here's my first point, will find you.
Jesus will show up in the middle of you being lost, in the middle of you being confused, in the middle of you not knowing where to turn. He shows up. And I love the fact that he shows up. Because what it shows us here, we didn't read this verse earlier, but early in verse 1 of chapter 20, it says, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. This is more than likely why she didn't recognize it was Jesus. Or possibly supernaturally, Jesus had, you know, veiled himself from her being able to see him on the first attempt. But nonetheless, it's dark when Jesus shows up. Why is this so profound? Because I want you to understand, family, that in your darkest moments, Jesus will show up. And some of you have come here today in the middle of a dark moment, in the middle of a dark season, but the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is even though you find yourself in a dark moment right now, a dark time in your marriage, a dark time in your health, a dark time in your life in general, Jesus will show up. Jesus will arrive. Jesus will show up. He will find you in the middle of what you are going through. Mary is lost and it is dark. But Jesus shows up. I want you to understand something, family. You don't find Jesus. Jesus finds you. When you've lost your way, when you are discouraged, when you are deflated. Matter of fact, for some of you all, it took everything in you to get here this morning. It took every bit of strength to get here this morning. Matter of fact, some of you had already made up in your mind that you weren't coming today because you had so much going on in your life this week. Pain in your body, pain in your mind, everything going on in life. It took everything in you to get here today. And that was simply because Jesus had found you. He had found you where you were. He had found you in the midst of what you were going through. He had found you in the midst of your pain. He had found you in the midst of your struggle. In the midst of the most darkest moments in your life, Jesus shows up and he finds you. You don't find him, he finds you. Matter of fact, let me say it like this. The resurrection isn't about you coming to Jesus. It's about Jesus coming to you. It's about Jesus showing up in your darkest moments. It's about Jesus coming to you and finding you in spite of you feeling lost, in spite of you not knowing where you are. And all of us in here have been lost at some point. If you're a follower of Christ, you were lost at some point. You were lost because of your sin being the one that separated you from God. You were lost because you had disobeyed God and you rebelled against God. And some of us in here today who aren't in a relationship with God, you've lost your way and you don't even know where to turn right now. Nothing in life seems meaningful. Nothing in life seems fulfilling because you've lost your way. But the good news of today is that Jesus has found you. And Jesus will find you. Here's what 1 Corinthians 15:17 says. And if Christ has not been raised, if Jesus has not resurrected, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. And those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. And if we put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. The Apostle Paul, who was once not a believer in Jesus, but now has a relationship with Jesus, says, if he has not raised, you are still in your sin. But I like what he says in verse 20. But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead. He has overcome sin. He has overcome darkness. He has overcome brokenness. He has overcome bondage. He has overcome brokenness, which means if he has, you now can experience new life as well, that you no longer have to be a victim to your past. And when you are lost, the good news is this, that help is on the way, and it is always on the way with Jesus. He never leaves you stranded. He will never leave you nor abandon you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you out back. He is always coming to your rescue. He is always coming to you. He is always seeking you. He is always longing for you. He has always been coming after you. This is why the Bible says in Luke 19:10, Jesus' own words. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. I want you to know, family, today, if you feel lost, here's the good news. Jesus came for you. Yeah. If you feel lost in your finances, Jesus came for you. If you feel lost in your sin, Jesus came for you. I know some of us in here feel like we got it all together and you came in here all nice and polished, but for those of us who can be real and be honest today and say, man, there's been plenty of times in my life where I've been lost and did not know where to turn, did not know where to go, but thanks be unto God of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that Jesus came and found me in the midst of me being lost. He finds me. He comes to me wherever I am. And Mary, she finds herself being lost, and Jesus shows up. And I like what it says next, what the Bible says. It says, supposing that he was a gardener, she replied, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. And turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. She recognizes Jesus. Watch what causes, watch the trigger that causes her to see Jesus as her Lord. He calls her Mary. Notice what he said first, right? He says, woman, who are you looking for? She doesn't see him. But then he says, Mary. Mary. And she turned around, and in Aramaic, she shouts, Rabboni, which means teacher. He calls her by name, emphasizing the relationship that he desires, the relationship that he has. I want you to understand something in here. When Jesus comes to find you, he knows all about your struggles. He is personally involved in your life. He's not just sitting in heaven watching what you're going through. No, he says, I'm going to get in the middle of what it is that you're going through. I'm going to call you by name. I know your name. I know your struggle. I know your addiction. I know what you're up against. I'm not just somebody who knows the basic things about you. He says, I know you for who you are, Mary. And he's calling you by name today. Whatever your name is, he's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. And he says, hey, I want to be back in a relationship with you. Hey, I want to be one with you. Hey, I haven't forgotten about you. I have not abandoned you. I have not left you. I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you thick through thick and thin. Never to leave you, never to abandon you, never to forsake you, never to leave you, never to cut out on you. I know other people have left you. I know other people have forsaken you, but I am still here with you. Mary, I call you by name. I love the fact that Jesus knows us by name. He says, I know you. I know your hang-ups. I know your condition. I know your struggles. I know what you're dealing with. I know what you're up against. And yet he still calls you by name, because it does not matter what your struggle is. It does not matter what your predicament is. It does not matter how you've lost your way. Jesus will show up in the midst of you being lost and be directly connected to you thick through thick and thin. It does not matter what you came in here dealing with today. It does not matter how disastrous your life is. Jesus will get in the middle of a disaster. Jesus will show up in the middle of your mess and bring forth an incredible testimony of life change, of transformation, of new life. He wants to do that for you today. The resurrection of Jesus, when I've lost my way, here's the good news. He finds me, but he doesn't just find me. I like what he does next. Notice what verse 17 and 18 say. It says this, don't cling to me, Jesus told her, since I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Notice what his response is to her. She's grabbing him. She's hugging him. Imagine her excitement. I don't know if you've ever felt rejoiced when you've lost your way and you were on your way somewhere, you got lost, and then you got back on track. The relief that you felt. The relief that she's feeling, the joy that she's feeling, the happiness. She has gone from a pendulum. She's on a pendulum of emotions. The Bible says that she was crying. And that word probably is not even an accurate word. In the original language, it means that she was sobbing, wailing. I don't know if you've ever been around a death or a funeral where you've seen people wailing, sobbing. She's gone from sobbing to rejoicing. I hear the psalm writer saying this, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to understand something, family. For every sorrow that you feel, there is a joy that is coming. There is a joy that is for you. And that joy is found in Jesus. So imagine here what she's doing. She's holding on to him and she does not want to let go. She says, I lost you once. I'm not going to lose you again. I'm on full-blown stalker mode, Jesus. Groupie status. I'm not leaving you, Jesus. And notice what he says. Don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. Some translations say, don't hold on to me. I don't know about y'all. I feel offended at this moment. What do you mean? Don't cling to you. What do you mean, don't hold on to you? What do you mean? Notice his response. Since I have not yet ascended to the Father. In other words, he's saying, I still got a purpose I got to fulfill. Don't hold on to me right now. Because what I'm getting ready to do is something even greater than you've ever seen. I'm going to ascend to the Father. And when I ascend to the Father, notice what he says next. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. I want you to see what Jesus is lifting up here. Notice he says to Mary, go to my brothers. Go to my brothers. I want you to see the relational language that he's saying here. He's called the disciples many things through the years. His followers, his friends. But now he says, your family, my brothers. I love the fact that Jesus calls them family even after they failed him miserably. Peter, the one who said he would be ride or die, Martin Lawrence, Will Smith, Bad Boys 3, Jesus. The one that said he would never deny, but yet he did 3 times. The other disciples who were nowhere to be found at his crucifixion. The other disciples countless times throughout Scripture where they failed Jesus. He calls them family. He identifies them relationally. What does this teach us? It teaches us this, that Jesus wants to be family with you, which is why he found you in the first place. Amen. He wants you and I to know God as Father. So when he tells Mary this, he says, I want you to go tell my brothers. Go tell my brothers that I'm getting ready to ascend and my God will be their God. My Father will be their Father. But going back to Mary, what is he teaching us here? That not only does he find Mary, and not only will Jesus find you when you've lost your way, here's the second point, Jesus will guide you when you've lost your way. So notice the language. He tells Mary, go to my brothers. Notice what he's doing here. He's giving Mary a path to go down. Go to my brothers. He's giving her direction. Go to my brothers. Some of us have come here today not knowing where to turn in life. You've been searching for direction. Your life has been off track. It's been off kilter for so long. You don't know where to go. You don't know where to turn. You've tried parties. You've tried clubs. You've tried liquor. You've tried relationships. You've tried premarital sex. You've tried all these type of things, and it's not led you to anywhere. It's led to a dead end, and Jesus is saying today, why don't you try me? I'll guide you. And he tells Mary, go to my brothers. He tells her where to go. But then not only that, he says, when you go to them, tell them this. Tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Notice what he's doing here. He's not only giving her a path to go down, but he's giving her a purpose to fulfill. When Jesus guides your life, he gives you a path to go down, and he gives you a purpose to fulfill. And some of you have been going through life trying to figure out what your life's purpose is. You've been going to counselor after counselor trying to figure out your purpose. You've been reading self-help book out of self, like one after another. You've been listening to podcast after podcast. You've been watching Wendy Williams to find out your purpose. Lord help you. You've been looking to this person to find your purpose. You've been looking to this person to find direction. And Jesus is saying, the only place and the only person that you can come to find direction and to find purpose is me. The only one that you can find satisfaction and fulfillment is me. It's not going to be found in another relationship. It's not going to be found in a new career. It's not going to be found in more money. It's not going to be found in a bigger house. It's not going to be found in another accomplishment. It is only found in me. And he gives her this purpose. He says, go tell my brothers that I'm alive and that I'm ascending to the Father. Why is this also so profound? Because in this first century Greek context, Greco-Roman context that the people lived in, a woman's testimony was never valued highly. Women were looked at as like subculture back then, had no value. Nobody believed anything a woman would say because it was always the men who were in these places of authority. So the mere fact that Jesus appears to Mary and a few other women first is groundbreaking. It is showing you that he is ushering in something that this world has never seen. That the purposes and the plans of God are greater than the purposes and the plans of mankind. That what God has for you, it is for you. That it does not matter what the world says about you. That it does not matter the labels that society tries to place upon you. If Jesus says something about you, that's all that matters. If Jesus has something for you, that's all that matters. If Jesus has said a truth over your life, that is all that matters. Some of you have been asking the question, how do I find my purpose? I find it by coming to Jesus. And we do that here at our church through Step 3 of the Growth Track, happening next Sunday after church. We talk about how you can find and discover the purpose that God has for you. And when you lost your way, I want you to know this, family, that Jesus, he finds you, he guides you by setting you on a path and giving you a purpose. And one of the things that Jesus is saying all throughout Scripture, he says these two words all throughout his earthly ministry, follow me, follow me, follow me. Some of you guys have heard cultural expressions like, follow your passion. No, don't follow your passion. Follow Jesus. Follow your heart. No, don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. Follow your dreams. No, don't follow your dreams. Follow Jesus. Follow this person. No, don't follow this person. Follow Jesus. Follow a career. No, don't follow a career. Follow Jesus, because Jesus is the one who can give you purpose and give you a path to go down. And in verse 18, notice what it says next. Then Mary Magdalene, she went and she announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. I have seen him. I've seen him with my own eyes. I've touched him. I've held on to him. Here's what she's saying. I've had an experience with Jesus. I haven't just had a moment. I've had an experience with Jesus. Here's what today is all about. Some of you guys came here today, Easter Sunday. Maybe today's your first time. Maybe you've been coming every week. I don't know where you are on the spectrum, but here's what I want you to understand. The power of today is all about. Today is not about you coming to an event about Jesus. Today is about you having an experience with Jesus. It's not about an event. It's about having an experience. Matter of fact, I want you to understand this. The resurrection is not just an event. The resurrection is a person. And his name is Jesus. Jesus is saying, I don't want you just to experience an event. I want you to experience me. This is what he says to his family and to his friends in John chapter 11 when he raises Lazarus back to life. He says, listen, I don't just have resurrection power in John chapter 11. He says, I am the resurrection power. I am the resurrection, which means if you come to me, you can start over. If you come to me, you can begin again. If you come to me, you can be set free. If you come to me, you can be found. If you come to me, you can discover your purpose. He says the resurrection is not just an event. It is an experience. It is a person. And I don't want you to leave out of these doors today just hearing a message about the resurrection. No, 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 no. I want you to experience the resurrection. I want you to experience the fact that Jesus can do new things in your life. I want you to experience the fact that he is a way maker, that he is the way maker. I want you to experience and hear about how God has opened up doors in other people's lives and how he can do the same thing in your life. I want you to know that just as Jesus set other people free from sin and from bondage, that he can do the same thing for you. Some of you have come in here today, you've heard stories about how God has moved in other people's lives, and you've been wondering, can he do it for you? I'm here to tell you today that the resurrection is proof that he can do it for you today, that he can set you free, that he can heal your body, that he can heal your infirmities, that he can heal your diseases, that he can provide for you, that he can open up doors, that he can make ways out of no ways, that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine. That the resurrection is about you experiencing Jesus. Why is this so important? Why is Jesus finding and guiding me so crucial? Remember what I said in verse 1. It says this, that it was still dark when all this happened. But Jesus, the light of the world, the resurrected king, shows that he has power over all things, even darkness. Even the darkness. Here's what he says in John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Watch what he says next. Anyone who follows me, follows. Everybody say follow. Anybody who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Some of you have been walking around in darkness for so long, and it's because you haven't been following Jesus. But today, Jesus is saying, I'm here to find you, and I'm here to guide you. I'm here to guide you out of the darkness. As a matter of fact, this is going to kind of freak some of us out. Hey, production team, can you guys check out all the lights really quick? I want to show you how Jesus is the light in darkness. All of them. Turn the screen off, everything. It's going to get really dark in here just for a moment, so I hope you guys don't freak out. Turn all the lights down, all of them. Just black it all out. Screen, that might take a little while to load back up, but it's okay in Jesus' name. It's all good. I'm sorry for you guys who are viewing us on Facebook Live. It's black on your screen right now, but I promise you, there's good news, all right? In the middle of darkness. You guys turn these lights off as well. Turn all that off. In the middle of darkness, Jesus shows up. Jesus does a new thing. Jesus, the light of the world, shows up in the middle of your darkness. He shows up when things don't make any sense. He shows up when things are uncomfortable. Matter of fact, can you do me a favor? Can you take out your phone right now? And I want you to hit that flashlight button. And I want you to understand how Jesus, in the middle of your darkness, how he can show up and begin to light up your path. How he can begin to show up and bring light to the darkness. Do you see how it's being lit up in here? This is what Jesus does for you. He finds you in the middle of your darkness. He finds you in the middle of your broken moment. He finds you in the middle of your ugly moments. He finds you in the middle of your crazy moments. He finds you in the middle of your darkest moments. He shows up. He shows up. Come on, we're not done. I want you to pull out your phone. If you haven't pulled it out, I want us all to stand to our feet. I want you to see it. Because some of us in here have come, and I know this is a weird way to end the sermon, but some of us in here have come. You've been dealing with darkness. And you've been wondering how you could find your way out. I want you to understand something. You can't find your way out on your own. Jesus, the light of the world, shows up in your darkness. He finds you in your darkness. And he guides you from darkness. That's what the tomb was all about. That the light of the world stepped into darkness. He got in the tomb. Light in a dark place. But then that light on early Sunday morning comes out of darkness to shine lights on every dark area of your life. I want you to understand something, family, today. I don't care what kind of darkness you're dealing with right now. That Jesus, the light of the world, comes to guide you. I hear the psalm writer saying this. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word. Your word. Why is that so important? Because when you fast forward, and better yet, when you go back 19 chapters earlier to John chapter 1, the Bible says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in the beginning was the Word. And in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, and the Word became fleshed and dwelt among us. Who is this Word that John is talking about? He is talking about Jesus Christ. So when the psalm writer says, and he doesn't realize it, but when he says, your word will be a light unto my path, he's saying, Jesus, you will be a light unto my path. You will light up my way. You will find me. You will guide me. You will set me free. You will bring me out of darkness back into the light. You guys can bring the lights back up. Bring the screen back up. Because today Jesus is saying, I've come that you would have life. Have it more abundantly. I've come so that way you know that I'm for you, I'm not against you. Some of you have been walking around in guilt and shame for years, for days, because of something you did years ago. Maybe because of something you did last night. And Jesus is saying, your sin is not greater than my resurrection.
So therefore, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and I need us to get this in our hearts, because some of us are in this place right now where you feel condemned and you feel guilty right now. I want you to understand something. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. Jesus, he died for your sins, past, present, and future, once and for all. You are set free in Christ Jesus. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, when you follow him, you no longer walk in darkness. You walk in light. But pastor, sometimes I get it wrong and sometimes I mess up. Man, welcome to the club. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome home. Because there's only one who's perfect, and his name is Jesus. And so we worship a perfect and a risen Savior, the light of the world. Some of you, you came here, you lost your way. You tried to find your way, different things. Some of us have, you've been going your own way. Your marriage has been failing because you've been trying to do it by yourself and do it on your own. Your health has been failing because you haven't been trusting God the way he wants you to. You haven't been seeking out the people maybe that he's trying to lead you to. And finances, whatever it is, you've been lost and trying to find your way. You're a middle school, you're a high school student, you've been trying to find your way, but you've been compromising. You've been falling short. You've been compromising on who you are as a child of God. You've done things that you haven't even told your parents about yet. You've been walking down this path, and some of you are college students and you're young adults, and you've been going down this path, and you've gone to the parties, and you've gone to the clubs, and you've been in different relationships, and none of them have worked. You have lost your way. You've been looking for significance in the wrong places, and you have come up empty. You have followed culture. You've believed the lies of the enemy. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this today, that you can find your way, and finding your way is found in the way, Jesus Christ. Find it. Jesus, the resurrected King, finds you in your darkness as he did Mary, and he guides you out of the darkness. And the question I want to ask you today is this: will you follow him? Jesus got up out of the tomb. Will you follow him out of yours? Will you follow him out of your grave? Because he says, I have all power in my hands. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? You can begin again. You can start over. So with every head bowed and every eye closed.